don't know about you guys, but I'm nervous. Say you get butterflies in your stomachs. I think I got birds going on in there right now, huh? What a morning to celebrate Christ. What a morning to remember what Christ has done for us. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in Christ-exalting songs this morning. I'm already crying like a baby, so this may get really sappy, okay? I'm sorry. We're going to pray this morning and move forward. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you. We praise you that as a people, Lord, you didn't leave us alone, but you came for us, Lord. You came for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, who would die for us upon a cross that we could be forgiven and live with you forevermore. Speak to our hearts there this morning, would you, Lord? I know that all words are profitless, Lord, unless you speak, and unless your Holy Spirit enlightens us and convicts. And so would you do that? Lord, I know as I've just been meeting with some people this week and talking with them that sorrows are deep on people's hearts this week. And Lord, you can meet them where they are. Would you be their comfort? Would you be their shelter? Would you erase any doubts and any fears from their mind, Lord God? Would you prove yourself faithful as you are, Lord? We know it. We know you are. We trust it, Lord. And yet things happen and stuff just comes about, Lord, and it causes us to question sometimes. And so I pray for those who may be there right now. And I lift them up to you, Lord. And I got to be selfish because I'm praying for myself this morning, Lord, but would you just lead this time? We pray in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, I've been thinking about this message for way too long, okay? When I found out I was going to do it, so I've been planning for this for about 3 weeks, maybe a little bit longer. And at 2 o'clock last night, in the middle of the night, I go, oh boy, I better write this down. And but it's something dear to my heart. Because the reality is I don't think anybody who walks the Christian life is immune to drifting. Drifting away from that love of Christ, drifting away from that pure devotion to Him, and not having the temptations to come to love the things of the world or to succumb to that kind of lordship even. We don't want to call it idols. That would be really unpopular in our church building to say that we put other things before God. I wouldn't want to say that to you guys or to myself. But the reality is that's what happens. Can we raise that today? Can we put that up? Sorry. I want us to see this thing. I love this thing back here. I come in here when it's dark. You've probably heard me say that. And nobody's here. And I sit right there on the floor. And I look up here. And I remember this cross. The cross of Christ. Because in this world, it's easy to get distracted by all sorts of things. It's easy to be in love with all sorts of other things. And it just pulls our hearts. It just, man, sometimes it just rips them away. And for me, that's where I've been. And I can't speak another message. I tried coming up with two other messages, and it just won't happen. So this is the one today. And I don't think I'm the only one. I just have this feeling and this thought in my mind that I'm probably not the only one who struggles with this. And as I looked at the Bible and I thought, man, I got to find a passage. Paul, I have no idea what passage I'm going to do. Because everything I read was like, oh boy, this fits. I mean, you think about the nation of Israel and their wanderings and all the things that they had. It was a constant struggle for them to stay devoted to the Lord. They would say, yes, Lord, here we go. I'm on fire for you. And yes, Lord, here we go again. Took a big stick, but we're going to come back to you, Lord. And familiar words are found in Deuteronomy 6. And we'll remember these words. They call it the Shema, right? The great Shema. And as Pastor Paul and Betty were there, they would even say these words several times a day, I believe. And we know this section of Scripture. We've heard it. As I say, you're going to remember this section, okay? It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord. Deuteronomy 6, 4. Sorry. Deuteronomy 6, 4. I'm going to be flying all over the place. You guys may be able to keep up, okay? Deuteronomy 6, 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. These words which I'm commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. And as I was reading, I was thinking, man, God just says, keep remembering this over and over. Keep your word close to my heart. You know why? He's going to tell us in a minute, but he says, you got to remember it everywhere you go. As you're walking out your house, you need to remember my word. As you're talking with your kids, as you're walking on the road, you need to remember the things that I've said. You guys need to keep being reminded. It's just who you are. That's the nature of humans. We forget. We easily forget. And God says, man, you gotta do this. You need to keep remembering. We guys got to keep bringing it to mind, I think. And that may not be the most technical thing you've ever heard in your life, but I think it fits. God just wants them to remember him everything that they do, every step of their life. Love me, he says, with everything you have. These might not be such familiar words in verse 10. Then it shall come about when the Lord your God brings you into the land which he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and splendid cities which you did not build, and houses full of good things which you did not fill, and hewn cisterns which you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees which you did not plant, and you eat and are satisfied. Then watch yourself. Watch out that you don't forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. And we look at that and we think, really? Can these guys really forget that it was the Lord who brought them out of the house of slavery? I mean, you see these magnificent things, these wondrous, mighty deeds that God did to bring the nation of Israel out, and you go, could they really ever forget? Could they ever really not love this Lord with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their strength? Could it really be? Yeah. Yeah, I can. Actually, it happened a lot quicker than you think. Moses disappears for a minute, and they're throwing a calf together and saying, that's who brought you out. This cow brought you out, right? Man. And maybe we like to make fun of them a little bit, but the reality is that oftentimes we're just like them. We're just like them. When I first thought about this and sharing with you guys later personal testimony about this struggle for me, the first person that came to my mind was Solomon. King Solomon, you remember, is the one who God said, you know what, David, you can't build my house. You got hands of blood. But your son will. I'm going to use your son. He's going to build a place for me. And Solomon built the temple of the Lord and made it, I mean, amazingly awesome and down to the T as God said it should be done. And God gave this nation to Israel, to Solomon, to reign over and to watch over. And God says, hey, ask me anything you want. And Solomon says, God, I don't even know how, I'm so young, I don't even know how to come in or out. I don't have understanding to lead this nation of people that you've given me, Lord God. How can I lead this great group of people that you have given, Lord? Give me an understanding heart, Lord. And people would come from all over to hear this guy because it pleased the Lord to give him exactly what he wanted. Oh, yeah, I'll give you what you need to rule my people and to judge my people and to watch over these guys. Awesome. And then I'm going to give you tons more. I'm just going to lay it on you, guy. I'm going to give you peace for years so that you can build the temple. But, man, then you read chapter 11. You read chapter 11. Now King Solomon was loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidians, and Hittite women. That's a lot of language. Whew. From the nations concerning Israel, which the Lord had said to the sons of Israel, you shall not associate with them, nor shall they associate with you, for they will surely turn your heart after their gods. And Solomon held fast to these in love. He had 700 wives, princesses, concubines, and wives turned his heart away. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned his heart away after other gods, and his heart was not wholly devoted to the Lord his God. Solomon stopped listening to the word of God. He stopped listening to what the Lord had said, and he directly disobeyed God. He directly disobeyed God, and because he directly disobeyed him, it turned his heart away, and he started following after other gods he knew. This is the wisest guy who ever walked the face of the earth outside of Christ. You think he would have known it, right? How wise are you this morning? The reality is that in Solomon's life, sin was the number one thing that ripped him away from pure devotion to the Lord. You know how it works? You get tempted. You maybe dabble a little bit. You feel a little bit guilty, so you stop reading the word. You kind of stop praying. And as you go, you just kind of keep drifting this way and drifting this way and drifting this way. I don't think it's always just like, boom, just did it. Some people maybe. I have permission to share this story. There's a man in our congregation that came to me and a couple other guys about a year and a half ago. You would have never known it. You would have never known that he was struggling with alcoholism and that it was wrecking his life. His walk with the Lord was pretty much non-existent, and yet he was amongst us and with us. But spiritually inside, guys, he was broken and lost. And we didn't know it. And I wonder how many others here today have a sin in their life that's secret, that's ripping your heart away from the Lord. That's heavy stuff. Desiring God, I love desiring God stuff. It's John Piper and Francis Chan. Everybody who's heard me talk has heard me quote these guys at least once or twice. But desiring God says this. This is kind of their motto. God is most satisfied in us when we are most satisfied in him. Where do you find satisfaction? You see, this guy thought it was in a bottle of alcohol, and he drank and he drank and he drank. But he was so desperate that he broke down to the Lord, and he finally got the help that he needed. You know what? He's been sober for a long time now, and his walk with the Lord is an encouraging walk. And it's awesome to sit back and watch this guy who was willing to stop and go, boom, I can't do it. I got to go get some help. I can't let this secret thing ruin my life anymore. And my walk with the Lord, it's not just destroying my walk with the Lord, but my family and every other aspect of my life. And today,
today it's different for him and his family.
Sin will rip us away from pure devotion to the Lord. I've thought about this one a lot, and I think I'm right in saying it today. Solomon's heart was ripped away because he was unwilling to listen to what the Lord wanted for him. Flip-flopping two things. I'm going to tell my personal story and then the other part. See, for me, it wasn't so much a secret sin. It wasn't anything that was really dark or devious. But for me, a fishing pole in my hand became a trap for me. Doesn't that sound so stupid? Doesn't it? I mean, it just sounds so stupid in comparison to the Lord, that holding a fishing pole and going fishing, like, you know, three times a week at 4:30 in the morning before I go to work and doing other things and chasing that thing around. And my mind was constantly on it all the time. And I'm driving down the road about 6 weeks ago, going to go fishing, and I'm listening to the radio, right? And the guy's preaching, and it just finally got through. Boom! God broke my heart on the way there that day. It broke my heart that their dirty word was an idol in my heart that was controlling my thoughts, was controlling my thinking. I would literally try to manipulate my way into going everything that I did, okay? I'm being completely transparent with you this morning. I don't have this thing all figured out. I'm letting you know I make a lot of mistakes. There was times when I knew I shouldn't have went, that it was causing a little bit of ruckus with me and Kristen. Doesn't it seem so stupid that we let these kind of things just creep in and take over? You know what I did? I took the stupid fishing poles and everything that I have, and I threw them in the garage. Because if my relationship with the Lord ain't right, I'm going to find it out there on the water, people. I got to get back to what matters. I got to make the time. If I'm willing to get up at 4:30 in the morning to go, you know, catch a couple bass before I go to work, then I better be ready to get up in the stinking morning, open the Bible and pray and get back to the right heart with God. My heart was divided. It became divided over a stupid worldly thing. Oh my gosh. I mean, I just think about it now and I go, are you kidding me? You can laugh. I'm an idiot. I know it. But I don't think I'm the only one. I don't think I'm the only one that has passions in our life and things in our life that really, if we think about it, dominate most of our time and our thinking. And we love to say, you know what, it can't really be sinful because, you know what, it's not really a sinful thing. But I can tell you what, I know there were some times that I went that it was sinful for me to go. Francis Chan said, you know what, if he didn't think his relationship was right with the Lord, he would just stop eating altogether. I just threw my fishing poles in the garage. I got to keep eating. You see this thing, it's got to be fed, okay? I ain't going to touch him again for a while until I'm sure of it. I set the date for August 16th, 40-day fast. But now my mind's saying, maybe not then. Maybe not then. Maybe just wait. Because I'm connecting with something so much greater and so much bigger again. You know, for months, guys, you don't know this about, but I felt defeated. I've been feeling defeated in my Christian walk, in my life. And I don't know how many of you guys walk this life and you come here and we smile and put on faces and hang out with each other, but really spiritually inside, you're feeling outcast and gone and disoriented. You know, I read a story about drifting this week. This guy had too many to drink, okay? Ends up falling asleep on a raft, ends up a mile off the coast, okay? Coast Guard had to rescue him. Embarrassed, I'm sure. Sunburnt, definitely, okay? But how many of us have been floating on a raft, asleep for a long time, only to be woken up and going, how in the world did I land here so far away from what I used to truly treasure in my life? There's only one thing I know. There's only one thing I know that brings you back. It's the greatest story I've ever heard. That even though we are a wandering, idol-worshipping, corrupt to the core kind of people, God loved us so much that he would die on a cross for us that we could be forgiven. And that's what broke me. When I remember his great love and what he has done, who am I not to love him in response? I love what Dave said at the 4th of July thing. You know, when you said, I love you, when he said, I love you to Marsha, he was expecting a response back. God says, I love you, and he's wanting a response back. And it's not the cold shoulder. It's, Lord, I love you too, and I'm sorry. I want to come back, and I forgive me, Lord. I want to walk with you. I want to be about your stuff. And he lets you back. And he forgives you. And he says, come. And someday, man, this is the part I love, right? Someday, for those of us who have trusted in Christ, this conflict will no longer be. It will be completely erased when we see his face in heaven. You know it? And everything else, every doubt, every worry, everything that matters is just going to be like, whoop, whoop, see ya. And we're going to stand and we're going to look at him and go, yeah, that, he is worth it. He is the one. Christ is the one worthy of our devotion, worthy of our love. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. Shortest sermon in Berean history. Nailed it. No. It's not about that today. I think I've said what I needed to say so far. They're going to play a little song. Oftentimes in our life, we're so busy anymore. We go so fast. You know, you wake up and you hit the alarm clock and it's just, here comes life and you're at work at whatever time you go and sometimes you're there late and you got, you know, for us who have kids, young kids, kids are going, here we go, you got to, you know, it's just crazy life sometimes. You go through the week and you go, what, really? It's Friday. Okay. All right, here we go. Keep going. I want to give us just a second to pause, to search our hearts, to examine ourselves. That's a biblical principle, to stop and reflect and examine your life and where your feet are traveling and where you're going and what you're about and what is the driving force of your life. Is it Christ? Or is it something else? Is it your love for him, the reason you do the things that you do, or is it love for you? So I want to give us some space this morning just to do that. I'm not going to pray right now. I don't want to break tradition and not pray after the sermon. I'm going to come back up, and we're going to do that in a minute. But I'd love for you guys just to think on that for a minute.